Cambridge Breakfast
with Julian Clover.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Steve Waters, who is a playwright and scriptwriter, whose many works include The Contingency Plan and the acclaimed four-part radio drama Song of the Reed. He is also Professor of Scriptwriting at the University of East Anglia and is going to be speaking at the Cambridge Festival as part of Creating a Livable Future, Positive Action to Avert Climate Catastrophe. And that takes place on the 28th of March. But Steve is on the line now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for coming on. I'm wondering as to when you first started to include elements of climate change in your work.
Well, amazingly, quite a long time ago, really. I suppose it came out of a general interest in the environment that sort of began for me sort of beginning of the noughties. But I'm perhaps particularly went straight forward with a couple of plays I wrote in 2008-09 called The Contingency Plan, which are still sort of around. They were kind of a double bill of plays that were, I suppose, of an attempt to imagine a very near future and to sort of think about the political response to climate change. And that sort of set me on a pathway, really.
I guess there's been, my mind when I knew you were coming on, my mind went to the Kevin Costner film Waterworld, which is kind of where it's gone horrifically wrong at some point in the future. But I often find that, I don't know, if you're watching something like Doctor Who, very good example, if it's something which is just ever so slightly out from the reality, it does have often more of a chilling effect than, you know, the whole world drenched with an ocean as it was in that Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually, because I think, you know, when I started writing about it, we were still in the foothills, if you like, and I think it was always about trying to convince audiences that this was a real and possible danger. I don't think anybody's in that position anymore. It's very much with us. We're living in a world that's profoundly affected by the climate crisis. So that necessity to kind of seduce people, beguile them into thinking about this reality is gone. And I think now, personally, I'm a sort of realist writer in some respects. So there's a degree to which I want to just engage with the very particular ways in which this is changing the way we live in all sorts of levels of life. So I agree with you that I think the sort of extremity of the sci-fi response and it takes you so far, really, and it tends to turn the story into an adventure story, or, you know, rather than something that's actually saying, hang on a second, what does it mean to live in these times, which is kind of what I'm interested in trying to capture and what I'm thinking about, like most of us, really.
Do you think, you know, was there a point when you looked at, say, the work of your fellow writers and thought to yourself, oh, there's a group of us now writing about the climate change issue? It isn't just me. Everybody's doing, not everybody, but, you know, different sets are doing it in their own way as well.
Well, that's a really good point, actually. I remember somebody, a group doing a sort of trying to track the emergence of work that is explicitly about climate change. And sort of, it was around the period when I was writing the Contingency Plan when those works started to emerge. But you're right, now it's a relatively crowded field, as you would expect. And I'm really pleased about that. I mean, in fact, the panel that I'm part of at the Cambridge Science Festival, you know, we have, you know, two novelists, you know, who are very much writing into this space. And now it becomes more about how you break this massive issue down into lots of different stories, because I really think it's of very little use now to talk about climate change as a whole. I think it's much more about, okay, what's it like in Pakistan? What's it like in, you know, Colchester or wherever you happen to be? Where's this thing manifesting? And then it just takes us back to the, you know, the fact that we're all just trying to tell good stories, which is really our first duty, whether they're about climate change or not.
I'm wondering, has it replaced other issues in contemporary writing? You know, what the kind of people like yourself and your colleagues who are now writing about climate change, is there a topic that they've moved on from?
That's a really interesting question. I think it's, I would say, rather than replacing it, it's infused its way, it infiltrated its way into lots of different stories. I mean, for instance, I didn't actually follow it, but there was a story recently, a drama on ITV1 called After the Flood with Sophie Rundle. And you know, it's about a major flood in a small town, but really it was a kind of murder mystery. So sometimes it's happening in a more genre way that kind of, what I think is curious now is stories that don't acknowledge the existence of climate change. They look quite strange. So it becomes less of a topic and more of a framework, if you like, because that is sort of the context for most of our lives at the moment. So I don't think it's replaced things. I think it's informed all sorts of stories that, you know, we might want to write about politics or the economy or how we live or just the relationships. What really fascinates me is stories that, you know, try and tell the story of, you know, what's it like to bring a child now, you know, in a world where you can't be confident in the future.
It's interesting. I saw after the flood, which I guess for those people who haven't seen it, it's kind of a Happy Valley-esque kind of drama, which ultimately, and to your point, it's just as much about police corruption as it is about the issues that are facing this town, and the, you know, relatives of the lead police character, you know, are offering support to the community because they've been taken out of their homes by the flood. And it's interesting, ITV are promising a second series, which means that these poor people are clearly going to go through a series of floods as well as the
police force you'd rather not have.
Yeah, well, maybe. Would you say that you're a natural campaigner? So away from the writing, are you somebody who, I don't know, goes out with a placard or simply supports a local community group?
Well, that's a really interesting point. I think I am not a natural campaigner. I am, and I think there is a tension between being, you know, drawn towards political questions and also the demands of writing, which is about, you know, the audience meets you in a space of relative freedom. So it's really important that you're not coming at the audience in a state of certainty, because after all, you know, we like stories because they are people working things out in the presence of an audience. Having said that, I mean, I actually used to live just north of Cambridge. I was part of a community carbon reduction group called HICO in Histon Impington. So I tried to be a citizen as well, but I don't necessarily connect that to my writing. But I am trying to shape the way the writing meets audiences to enable them to not just watch the work, but reflect upon it, debate it, see how it affects their everyday lives. Because I think sometimes, particularly if you think about television, you watch it in a vacuum and there's no follow-on from often what can be quite distressing and powerful material. And I think particularly in theatre, we've got a responsibility to help audiences not only see really important work, but help them think about it and talk about it afterwards. And it's one of the last places that people gather, really. So that's where my activism lies, I think, in trying to shape the way that people experience storytelling.
And we're joining some fellow novelists, I think Guinevere Glassford, who's been in here at these studios a few times, I think, and Farah Ali and Ari de Falkenberg as well, at the session, which is at St John's College, the old Divinity School, in All Saints Passage at the end of the month, fortnight today, actually, isn't it? 8 o'clock
yes.
on the 28th of March. Do you think? I guess it's much more fun if there isn't agreement on the panel, but I suspect there possibly might be on this particular topic.
Yeah, I think that's the nice thing, is that we don't have to have that sort of big disagreement about does it exist and is it. I mean, I really hope we're over that. I know that there are still some stubborn sort of quarters where people just cannot get their mind around the idea that this is a pressing reality. So really the conversation should be a bit more complicated now. It's like how where you know, I mean, I know Farah is somebody from who's of Pakistani origin. She is writing very specifically about that. Guinevere uses her historical sort of insight to think about the way climate change plays out. So Ariel's, I think, studied sort of entrepreneurs in this space. So I think the conversation is more about, you know, the very detailed way in which people are trying to kind of engage with this question, rather than is there climate change, which I feel like is definitely a 10-year-old question for us now. We just need to leave that one behind.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a straightforward answer to that, I think.
Yes,
Steve,
think so.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed our conversation this morning. And Steve Waters' session, Creating a Livable Future, Positive Action to Avert Climate Catastrophe, 28th of March, 8 o'clock. And I suspect, Steve, it's one of these ones free to get in, but possibly a good idea to book just in case.
I think that would be wise, absolutely.
Okay, that's good. Steve, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure.
Steve Waters, writer, and also I want to talk to him about this another time, a professor of script writing at the UEA. It is 20 after 9 now. We'll chat to Neil in just a moment. First, take a look at the travel.
Cambridge 105 Radio.